Let us bow in a word of prayer. As we begin, Father, we pray that your presence will be with us and that your Holy Spirit will speak through me this morning as I open your word for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. It is good when God's people can encourage one another with words of encouragement as we share with them, with others, what God is doing in our lives. As we share our circumstances with others, that can encourage God's people to continue in the faith. And when we share our circumstances, especially through difficult times, when we are going through difficult times and we share with others our circumstances, how we are still trusting in God, we are still persevering in spite of our hardships, our difficulties, that could be a great encouragement to other believers in Christ. And Paul was a missionary. God called the Apostle Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived by the grace of God. But Paul himself also asked others to pray for him, and he also shared his circumstances with others that they might be encouraged. The letter of Paul to the Ephesians was written by Paul while he was in prison. And while he was in prison, he was thinking of other Christians. He was not focusing on his own situation. He was not having a little pity party by himself. But he was thinking of the Christians in the church at Ephesus and how they might have been affected by Paul's imprisonment. And so Paul, being gracious, kind, and compassionate, he sent one of his fellow workers to the church at Ephesus to tell them about Paul's circumstances, what he's doing while he is in prison. And through that, they could be encouraged to know that the great apostle has not given up, and therefore they themselves must not give up. They would be encouraged. I was very much disappointed when I was reading through other commentaries on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. And most of the commentaries have left out verses 21 and 22. And to me, that's very sad, because what I'm assuming is that these commentators are saying that verses 21 and 22 are not that important. But I disagree. If that was the reason why they did not comment on verses 21 and 22, I disagree with them. It's good to know doctrine. It's good to preach. It's good to be missionaries and telling people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is also equally important to encourage others in the work of the Lord. So let me read verses 21 and 22 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, "But that you may also know about my circumstances," speaking to the Ephesians, "how I am doing." He says, "Tychicus, the beloved brother, and faithful minister in the Lord will make everything known to you. I am sending him, Paul says, to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort or encourage your hearts. May the Lord bless his word to our lives. And my purpose for preaching this sermon this morning is to have us, or someone who hears my voice, to look for someone who is a Christian and tell them about your circumstances. Tell them about what Christ is doing in your life so that they can be encouraged. That is the reason why I'm preaching this message, and that is my goal. That when we leave this place, we can think of someone that we can encourage by telling them what God is doing in our lives, whether it is good or not. Tell them to encourage them. So Paul had many friends. Paul was never a loner in his ministry. There were many fellow workers with him. There were deacons and deaconesses, men and women who followed Paul, who worked with him. He called them fellow workers, fellow servants in Christ. And it is very important that as workers for the Lord, that we do not do it by ourselves. We cannot be loners in the work of the ministry of the gospel. We need others. As the pastor of the church, I need others. I need the deacons. I need the Sunday school teachers. Well, we call them rock solid kids. We need those who come to pray on Wednesday nights, and we need everyone. I need everyone in the ministry. We cannot do ministry by ourselves. In the same way, we cannot live the Christian life by ourselves. We need other believers to encourage us and also to encourage others. And so Paul had many friends in ministry. He depended upon them. He relied upon them. Though ultimately he relied upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but he never worked by himself. And one of his fellow workers is mentioned here, Tychicus by name. He's mentioned, that's Paul's friend Tychicus, he's mentioned four other places in the New Testament. Let's look at these passages so we can learn a little bit about Tychicus. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, this is when Paul is bidding farewell to the elders in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, he's bidding them farewell as he moves on his missionary journey. And he mentions Tychicus by name along with others in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. Let me just read from verse 1, Acts chapter 20. After the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples. And when he had exhorted them and taken leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. When he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to turn through Macedonia. And he was accompanied by these people. These are the names: Sopater of Berea. Does that name, that city, bring some memory to your mind? You recall Berea? You recall the Bereans? There were those who searched the scriptures. They did not take for granted what Paul said to them. They went home, they went, opened the Bible, and searched the scriptures to know that what Paul and the other disciples were saying was indeed the word of God. They searched the scriptures. Oh, that God will give us more Bereans in our churches. Don't take what I say for granted. Don't take what other preachers say for granted. When you watch them on television or when you go to church, make sure you have a copy of the Bible. Whether it is in printed pages or wherever you have it, make sure you have a copy of the scriptures and you search it to make sure what is being proclaimed is the word of God. Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Astarchus, that's his parents, and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy. Right, Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. He referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. And then Tychicus, Trophimus of Asia. All of these men kept company with Paul in the ministry. And what a beautiful thing it is to see brothers, and may I add sisters, gathering together, working together to accomplish one purpose, and that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In whatever ministry God has called you to, it doesn't have to be necessarily preaching or teaching a class in church. Whatever you do, what a beautiful thing it is to see God's people coming together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul knew very much the importance of this, and he had many friends in the work of the ministry. And Tychicus is one of those. Now, Paul also mentions his name in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Colossians 4 and verse 7. Paul says, let me read from verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us. Notice Paul says for us, not for himself only, but for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word. What a prayer. That God will open a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which sake I have also been imprisoned. Paul was in prison when he wrote Colossians. And then he says in verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And then in verse 7, Colossians chapter 4, he says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, and fellow bond servant in the Lord, will bring you information. Colossians 4, 7. Notice again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, his name is also mentioned here. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul mentions his friends again. Notice in verse 9, 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 9, make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So some of his friends left him. And that's expected in ministry. There are those who will leave, those who will desert. And Paul says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. This Mark that Paul is referring to had deserted Paul at some point in his ministry. He left Paul and he went back. But notice he came back to the fold. And one of the lessons we can learn about Mark is that we should not give up hope on those who have left the church. They may come back at some point. They may come back, so don't give up. And then Paul says in verse 12, but Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And then in Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. I shouldn't say Titus, I should say Titus. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis. Nicopolis, city of victory. For I have decided to spend the winter there. So Tychicus was a constant companion with Paul. And it seems as if he was someone who was trustworthy. Paul was able to trust him to deliver a message when Paul gave him that message to deliver. So Paul trusted him. And that is what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. He uses two adjectives to describe Tychicus. Notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. He says, but that you may also know about my circumstances, how I am doing. He says, Tychicus, and then he uses two adjectives to describe this fellow worker in Christ. He says he's a beloved brother. A beloved brother. What a beautiful title. A beloved brother. Do you know that Jesus Christ was also called beloved? That he was God's beloved son? So Tychicus has the same title as the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. That's what God says about Christ. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. And Paul uses the same adjective to describe this brother, that he is beloved. So what does it mean then, to be beloved? Well, first of all, it means that this man, Tychicus, was loved by God. He was loved by God. Now, the Bible indeed says that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. But Tychicus experienced God's love in a specific, personal way. And if you are a Christian, then you are also the beloved of God. you are the beloved of God. Every Christian is God's beloved. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. After he talks about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," same word that Paul uses to describe Tychicus, a beloved brother. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So every child of God, every Christian is beloved by God. Here is another passage, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, let's read from verse 14, it says, "Therefore, beloved," notice that, "therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul." This is Peter speaking here, and he refers to Paul as his beloved brother. That's beautiful. Wonderful. It's good to have beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have experienced the love of God. Beloved brothers and sisters, beautiful. And we are beloved because God loved us, and we have experienced his love, and so we can call each other my beloved. You know what? There's a whole book in the Old Testament that's dedicated to God's beloved. You know that book? Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, dedicated to the beloved, God's beloved. If you want to interpret this book figuratively, it's speaking of Christ's love for his bride, the beloved. And so Paul refers to Tychicus as one who is beloved. And I'm sure you have met many Christians that you can say truly they are God's beloved, because they demonstrate this love by their lives. We are all beloved, yes, if you are in Christ. But we ought to show others by our lives that indeed we are worthy of that title, beloved. What an honor it is to have the same title as Jesus Christ. God called his son, my beloved son, the one who is God himself. And then God calls us the beloved. And the love that he's referring to here is not a love that is human. It is a love that is unconditional. It is a love that is unending. It is a love that has no limit. That is agape love. That's the word that he mentions here when he calls Tychicus my beloved. Agapetos, the love of God. It's a love that is sacrificial. A love that gives and gives. Notice the second title that Paul calls Tychicus in our text, Ephesians 6, verse 21. He says, notice, my faithful servant. Not my faithful servant, sorry. A faithful servant in the Lord. See that? Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant or minister in the Lord. Faithfulness is so important when it comes to God's people. It is essential if we are to be pleasing to the Lord in the work that he has called us to do. And Tychicus exemplified this faithfulness. What does it mean when Paul says that he was a faithful servant? Well, we can understand that when we think of God himself as faithful, because that's exactly what the Bible says about God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says that God is faithful. And when the Bible says that God is faithful, it means that God will do what he says he will do. That whatever God promises, he will accomplish it. That God will not go back on his word. That whatever he says, God will do. That's what it means to be faithful. To keep one's promise, to keep one's word to others. And God is the only one who is essentially faithful. God is the only being who is capable of being faithful. But then, those of us who have experienced the love of God, God has given us this ability, as it were, by his grace, to also be faithful, to keep our word. And these are the kinds of people that God uses in the work of ministry, those who are faithful. Now, I did promise myself that I would not say anything that would make you laugh, but I just can't resist sometimes. Because I said I don't want to offend anyone, but do you know that God only uses fat people? Someone reminded me of that a few weeks ago, and then I was looking through my seminary notes last week, and I had this on the side of my notes, actually, 20 years ago. I wrote on the side of one of the classes I was taking, I think it was systematic theology, God uses only fat people. You know what that means? God uses only those who are faithful, available, and teachable. F, faithful. A, available. And T, teachable. So I am not speaking of anyone's physical shape. This is not what I'm talking about. It's just an acronym. But these are the people whom God used. Those who are faithful and available and teachable. Tychicus was faithful in his ministry with Paul. Tychicus was dependable. He was reliable. He was trustworthy. And that's what it takes to be a minister of Christ. We have to persevere. We have to keep our word, as it were. There are many who have, in the past, dedicated their lives to God in ministry, and when hard times come, they give up. But we have to be faithful. If you tell someone that you will meet them in church at 2:00 on Wednesday or whatever day of the week, if you promise to meet someone at Tim Hortons at 5 p.m., make sure you get there at 5 p.m. Be reliable. Keep your word, especially in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Tychicus was faithful, and so Paul the Apostle was able to rely upon him. And he gave him this letter to take to the saints at Ephesus. Now, back in Paul's day, of course, there were no technology, right? There were no Instagram and all of the social media stuff. We know that. So it would have taken Tychicus maybe a few days or even a couple of months to get from one destination to the other. Which means that Tychicus himself would have to be very careful that when he arrives in Ephesus, that the document, the parchment that he was carrying would not become soiled or tattered. He had to preserve it so that he would deliver it safely to the church at Ephesus. Tychicus also would have had to be patient as he traveled, maybe on horseback or by ship, to get from one destination to the next. But Paul trusted this man to deliver this document safely to the saints at Ephesus, so that when they read it, they would be encouraged. And that's what we need in our churches. We need people who would not just pop in and out of church, not just come to church to feel a little uplifted and to jump up and down in church and then go home and forget everything else. No, we need people who are persistent and consistent, because that's what ministry is about. That's what church is about. Church is not about coming 11 o'clock or 10:30 or whatever and shouting and jumping and feel good. I mean, that's part of it, but that's secondary to what it really means to do ministry. It's a daily grind. It's a weekly grind. And I always encourage young Christians, young believers, to not get caught up in the moment of time, but to persevere in your faith. To me, perseverance in the Christian life is the most important truth that we can learn. Persevere, don't give up. Would you be faithful if you're alive 20 years from today, as you are today? Would you be in church 5 years from now, serving the Lord? Would you still be reading the Bible 15 years from now, 20 years from now, or even 1 week from now? Would you persevere? That's what really matters, persevere in faithfulness. In fact, the word faithful, the word faith in the scriptures speak of that which is firm, that which endures. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be faithful, to persevere, to be firm in Christ. And Tychicus was one of those. He was firm in Christ, he persevered, and Paul was able to trust him. So then, Paul sends him to Ephesus for two reasons, to accomplish two goals. Notice, first of all, in verse 22, Paul says, I have sent him to you for this very purpose. First of all, so that you may know about us. Paul is in prison. Maybe he's chained to one of the soldiers, Roman soldiers. But while Paul is in prison, Paul was still proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Paul was still ministering to the jailers in prison. And so even though Paul was in chains, even though God's messengers are chained, the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be chained. Even though God's messengers are imprisoned, God's message cannot be imprisoned. Truth can never be destroyed. As someone said, truth crushed to the ground shall rise again. Just as Jesus Christ he was buried, he rose again. Because truth crushed to the ground will rise again. And so the world can enter into the places where we worship and seek to destroy the truth by killing God's people. But the Bible says, do not fear him who is able to destroy the body, but not able to destroy the soul. And so let Satan and all his cohorts try to silence the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let Satan seek to silence God's messengers. They cannot silence the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them imprison Paul and Peter. Let them behead John the Baptist and others. Let them murder saints in countries where the gospel is outlawed. But one thing they cannot do is to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so maybe those are some of the things that Paul wanted Tychicus to remind the saints at Ephesus of, that he's in prison, but he's still working for Christ. He's still continuing to preach the gospel even though he is imprisoned. And by telling them this, the saints at Ephesus would be encouraged, knowing that Paul, who is the great teacher of the gospel, the pioneer of their faith, has not given up, so that they in their own circumstances should not give up. See? Then notice the second purpose. Paul says, I have sent him to you for this purpose, so that you may know about us, our circumstances, and that he may comfort your hearts. So they needed to be comforted because they have heard of Paul in prison. Paul, who was the great missionary, Paul, who was sent to the Gentiles to proclaim the gospel, he is now imprisoned. Some of them must have been alarmed by Paul's circumstances. But upon hearing news about what Paul is doing in prison, they would be encouraged. They would be comforted. And that word comfort in our scriptures, in our Bible here, in our text, is a very important word because it is the same word that's used for the word paraclete, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, the one who encourages us, the one who is called alongside us. So Paul says that when they hear news of Paul's circumstances, their hearts would be comforted. The paraclete will draw alongside them and comfort them. How is that possible? Well, because Tychicus was a messenger of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he is a bearer of the Holy Spirit. So all those who are in Christ, every Christian is a bearer of the paraclete because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So that when our brothers and sisters are discouraged, we can come alongside them and be, as it were, the paraclete. To be God's presence and comfort them, but only if the Holy Spirit resides in us. And that's who we are as God's people. We should be comforters, encouragers to the hearts of people who are discouraged, people who are depressed, That's amazing when you think about it. That as God's children, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that we can be comforters to others. We don't have to go to school to learn how to comfort others. We don't have to study for years and years and then finally graduate to be comforters and encouragers to others. No, we don't have to. Why? Because as soon as you become a Christian, you instantly become an encourager, a comforter. Why? Because the Paraclete dwells in you. And you're able to encourage others and comfort them. Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in our trials so that we might comfort others who are going through the same trials. God comforts us so that we can, as it were, pass it on to others. Don't ever think that you are useless in the kingdom of God. Tychicus' name is mentioned only 5 times in the Bible, but he was very useful to Paul. And I'm sure there are many others who were helpful to Paul whose names are not mentioned in the Bible. So we don't have to become celebrities to encourage others. We don't have to become someone else. The only qualification is to be a Christian, to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So let me encourage you that God does not look on the outside. As I read the Bible, all of those whom God has called, the qualifications that are necessary are not physical. Have you noticed that? Paul didn't say that Tychicus is a handsome young man and I'm sending him to encourage you. The only place I can remember in the Old Testament when the Bible talks about Saul, who was tall and handsome, and then he was a failure. The Bible says David was ruddy, and maybe David was not so handsome, but he was a man after God's own heart. But you read of the qualifications to be a minister of God, and it is never anything about our physical appearance. It is always about spirituality, faithfulness, being loved by God and loving others, patience, and all of these inner qualities. Nothing to do with the external. So if you think that you are not pretty enough and that God would not use you, oh, get rid of that. I'm thankful that the Bible doesn't have any description of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the descriptions that we have of Christ is that he had no beauty that we should behold him. And then in the book of Revelation, he is described as the one who is awesome and glorified in heaven. So don't say that God cannot use you, that you're worthless, you don't look good, you don't have what it takes because you don't look good on television or you don't look good in your pictures, people don't like you because you don't have physical beauty. Absolutely not. Faithfulness, love for God, love for others, those are the qualities God uses in his servants. So may I encourage you to encourage someone else to not be among those who use social media to destroy others. And I think I said this before, and I'll say it again, of the sign I saw in the church. Tweet others as you would like them tweet you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for calling us and making us your beloved. I pray for each one here this morning. For those who do not know Christ, I pray that you will give them your Holy Spirit, that they also might become encouragers and comforters to others. Bless your people everywhere, especially those who are going through difficulties, those who are persecuted. I pray that they will get a word of comfort, that they might persevere in the things of Christ. Bless all your people here. I pray for those who might be going through physical struggles in their lives, struggles at home with finances or whatever it is. I pray that your grace will be sufficient for them, that they might not give up, but continue trusting in you all the days of their lives, because you will never disappoint us. And we thank you for receiving us. Thank you for calling us to yourself, and help us to be faithful even unto death for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.